السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
Rahman Rahim. Huzur says that 2-3 days ago it was 12th of Rabiul Awwal, which is the birthday of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this day for Muslims, a part of Muslim community celebrates it with great zeal in Pakistan. And in the whole Indo-Pak subcontinent, they celebrate it. Some people write to me and also ask Ahmadis, the people who are critics and opponents, one of the allegations they say is that why don't Ahmadis celebrate this in the same way as others too? I would like to say something regarding this subject. And what the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam has mentioned about it, that will explain the point that actually it is the Ahmadis who really want to know how to be grateful and to appreciate this thing. But before the extract of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam regarding this matter, that since when it has been celebrated, what's the history of that background, I would like to mention that some sects of Muslims, do not celebrate this Miladun Nabi, the birthday of the Prophet. The first three centuries of Islam, which are described to be the best one, among those people, the love and affection that they had with the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that was very intense and very profound. And all those people, they were also fully knowledgeable regarding these religious matters. And they were most zealous that to follow the Sharia and the teachings of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Despite this fact, the history tells us the fact that no companion or the tabi'i who came after the Sahaba, the companions, during their time, there was no trace or mention of Eid Miladun Nabi at all at that time. That person who started it, it is said that it was Abdullah bin Muhammad bin Qada was the person. Muhammad bin Abdullah bin Qada, whose followers are known as Fatimi, and they attribute themselves to the progeny of Hazrat Ali رضي الله تعالى عنه. And this is connected with the founders of the Batni sort of sect. And that means, the Batni group means that some aspects of the Sharia are apparent and some are hidden. And they explain the matter in their own way, that with the to killing the opponents with deception is all right, and there are so many other things and so many innovations are there which these people have introduced in Islam, and they are all attributed to this group of people. So the first of all, the people who actually started this Miladun Nabi and ever held a celebration of that was the members of the Batniya group. And whatever they did, that was certainly a clear innovation. In the time of their rule in Egypt was 362 after Hijra, and after that they fixed these days, and Ashura, Miladun Nabi, and Milad Hadrat Ali, and Milad Hadrat Hassan, and Milad Hadrat Hussain, Milad Hadrat Fatima, and the first night of Rajab, the month of Rahima, and the middle night, and the Shaban, the first night of that is celebrated, and then the night of Khatam, and with reference to Ramadan, there are various celebrations, and there are lot of other, host of other celebrations which which have been introduced by way of innovations and bidat in Islam. As I said, there is one group among the Muslims, some sects are such, who do not celebrate it at all. And they declare it as, Eid Miladun Nabi as an innovation. And there are others who have gone to that extent that they have reached all the limits. So we will see that what the Imam of the age, who was appointed as Hakam and Adal in this age, that Imam of Imamul Zaman, what he has given us the guidance about it. Somebody wrote to, questioned from Hadrat Masih Maud alayhi salatu wasalam about Maulud Khani and celebrating this occasion. He said that the mention of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam is very good, but it is established from Hadith that there is a blessing through the progeny of the prophets, and Allah Almighty has also encouraged to mention the prophets. But along with that, if there are some other innovations which is disturbing the concept of Tawheed and unity of Allah Almighty, that is not permissible. The glory of Allah with Allah and the glory of the Prophet, it will remain with the Prophet. Nowadays, there are more of bidat, more of innovations, and these innovations are against the will of God. And if there is no innovation, then it is a vaaz, simply a lecture. The advent of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his birth and passing away is mentioned. That is worthy of sawab and reward, and we do not want to have something new. But these people have created such innovations. If they are going to mention the seerah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his character, then it's very good. But nowadays, particularly in Pakistan and India, in these gatherings, more than describing the character, it becomes more political. And moreover, it is used for slinging mud upon other people. In Pakistan, there is no jalsa, no meeting which they hold. It would never ever be there that after mentioning the character of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they would finish with that. But everywhere it happens that they always say so lot of things against Ahmadiyyat and against the person of the Holy Prophet, promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, and extremely vulgar and very indecent type of talking is made about them. And he is made the object of mockery and mocking. During the last few days in Rabwa, the non-Ahmadi mullahs, they held a big meeting. And according to the reports, it is mentioned that clearly indicate that it was for political purpose and was against Ahmadis, and they wanted to express their enmity and hatred against Ahmadis. That was the sole purpose. So if this type of meetings are held, there is no mention of, there is no benefit of that. And the person of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that blessed one. He came as Rahmatulil Alameen, mercy for the whole of mankind. And he used to pray, crying and weeping for even for his enemies. Hazrat Aisha r.a. says that there was another companion. He said that once I had the opportunity of offering the tahajjud prayer along with the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in that, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam continually prayed for this, for the forgiveness of his people. But the mullahs of today, what are they doing? Instead of following this example, they say against Qadianis. That is actually against Ahmadis, but in their language they call us Qadianis. All the filthy language that can be used, they use that. And they put allegations. And the noble example of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was this, that a companion during the battle, when he overpowered an enemy, and after he overpowered and he said the kalima, then he asked that, did you open up his heart to see? And he was so much angry that that companion desired that he would not have become a Muslim by that time. So anyway, these are the doings of these people today, which they are doing. Hazrat Masih Maud Salatu Aslam continues to say, I present that subject once again. He said that just the mention of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is very good. That increases the love of a person. And one is encouraged to follow the noble example of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In the Holy Quran, it is said, he said that the Holy Quran has mentioned something about that, Vazkur fil Kitab Ibrahim. But why in mention of these prophets there are some innovations added to it, then it makes it disapproved. So remember that the real purpose of Islam is the unity. But these meetings of Milad, when they are held, they have got a lot of innovations in it, and which has spoiled one thing which was actually basically very good. The mention of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a source of mercy. But these disapproved type of innovations, that is not wrong. We are not authorized to that we should lay the foundation of a new Sharia. And this is what these people are doing. Everybody, according to his own thinking, they are making a Sharia of their own. Actually, they make their own Sharia. And in this matter, they always go to both the extremes. Some people ignorantly they say that there is the mention of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is forbidden. This is their foolishness, absolutely wrong. The mention of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to call it foolish, it is extreme audacity. While following the example of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the means of making one beloved of Allah Almighty. And this zeal of following and obedience, that is through the mention of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The one who loves somebody, he always mentions that. Those people who stand up at that time and they believe that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has come, this is one of their way that they have the meeting of Milad and Maulud, and they stand up. People were sitting before there. The speaker is talking to them. He says that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has come, and all the people stand up at that time. He says that that when these people say that the Holy Prophet ﷺ has arrived here, that is a boldness on their part. And these meetings, we have seen that a lot of people attend such meetings who otherwise do not offer the prayer. Those who are not regular in offering of their five daily prayers, and there are some who never ever offer any prayer, but they do attend such meetings. And a lot of people attend these meetings who are not observing the Salat, and some people are drinking. And what is relation the Holy Prophet ﷺ has got with the meeting of these people? These people just come to see as a show. And some people become very dry type of Wahhabi, and they do not have put actually the love of the Holy Prophet ﷺ in their heart. And actually the hearts of the really true believers are the seat of the love of Allah. And considering all these people, and with by way of loving the people who are loved by Allah Almighty, the strength of faith is increased. It is mentioned in Hadith that the Holy Prophet ﷺ said that paradise is a lofty place, and in that I will be there. And one companion who had extreme love with him, he cried, he started weeping, he said that I love you very much. And the Holy Prophet ﷺ said, you are going to be with me. And he thought that if the Holy Prophet ﷺ goes there, I may not be able to reach. But he was told that if you have the love, you will also be there. And Masih Maud alayhi salatu wasalam says that there is a group of the people, they worship their graves, they do not have anything beside that. The fact of the matter is the mention of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as the Wahhabis say that it is forbidden, it is not like that. Those people who do these innovations in a way of the idolaters, that is wrong and that is bad. And similarly, once somebody wrote a letter to him and he wrote a reply and he said that these innovations are bad. If there is a jalsa, there is a meeting and the character of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is mentioned. Some poems are recited there, in the love of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are recited there. These meetings are very good, no doubt. Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salatu wasalam, how he used to, these meetings, he wanted to decorate these meetings, and what sort of meeting he wanted to hold, he says that in kuntum tuhibbun Allah fattabi'uni. Allah Almighty says that if you love Allah Almighty, this is the verse of the Holy Quran, that if you love Allah Almighty, then you follow me. He asked that did the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recite the Quran on the breads, as on the loaves of bread, as the Ahmadis, they have this innovation, they recite the Quran on that, and they say that this bread has become sacred of because it is the bread of the Maulud. He says that Allah Almighty says that you love Allah Almighty so that to get the love of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And is it proof that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ever did like that? He says that if he had recited on one bread, then we would have recited on thousands of breads. Yes, but the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam listened to the Holy Quran when it was recited melodiously, and when this verse was recited, Vajena Beka Allahulai Shahida, he also wept on that one. When Allah Almighty will bring the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a witness on this question, when this verse was there, that you would be standing witness on these people. When he listened to that one, he cried. So this crying was actually indicating the utmost high standard of his modesty and humility. That how Allah Almighty granted him that status. Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salatu wasalam says that he cried and said that, yes, stop here, I can't listen any more beyond that. And because he must have thought of this thing when he considered himself to be a witness over these people. We also have, Masih Maud alayhi salam says that we also wish that there should be somebody who recites melodiously and we should be listening to that. So this is actually the following of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has shown example of each and everything. We should follow that. That is good enough for a good believer. He should simply see that if that thing has been done by the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam or not. If he has not done it, then when has he asked the people to do like that or not? The promise, the Ibrahim Alaihi Wasallam was his great grandfather. But he did not hold any meeting of Maulud of Hadrat Ibrahim Alaihi Wasallam. Anyway, summary of that is that on the day of the birth of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, to hold a meeting, it is not totally forbidden. Provided there is no innovation at all in that, only the character of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is mentioned. And not only it should be done once, rather, but the sirat and the character of the beloved is such that it should be held several times during the year, and this should be the way, and this is actually what has been the style and the tradition of Jamaat Ahmadiyya. So it is not only confined to one day or in relation to one day of the birth, but if any other special day is fixed and a meeting is held on that day and the character of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is mentioned in the whole country or in the whole world, there is nothing against that. But there should be no innovation whatsoever in that, and no such thought should be there that from this meeting that whatever blessing that we have got that is good enough, we don't stand in need of anything good apart from that. There should be no extreme, nor going to that extreme, not the other extreme. So according to this, in the remaining time of the khutbah, in the light of the saying of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, I would like to mention some aspects of the noble character of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, so that we can also try to make these things a part of our life. And only then, as Allah Almighty says in the Holy Quran, we would be by following the noble example of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we would be able to get the love of Allah Almighty. And only then our sins will be forgiven. And only then our prayers will be accepted by Allah. Some people ask that, did the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when we make it a wasila, a medium, actually following his tradition and love of Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that is actually the means of having Allah Almighty. And in the prayer which is recited after the azan, in that prayer has been taught to us in that, the same thing has been taught in that prayer. And also the verse which I have recited, and some part of that has been mentioned by Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salatu wasalam. The full verse is, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهَ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. You say that if you love Allah Almighty, then you follow me. He would also love you, and he would forgive your sins. This was instructed to the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to declare like that. So we see now, that what tradition did he establish, which we have to follow? And what were those good actions which he performed in front of his companions, and he asked the people to follow and do the same? So let's see that. The Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the people of the world, they allege that, God forbid, for the worldly fame and name and fame, he conquered some areas, and he brought them under his control. And then in relation to his wives, they also say different things. The books are being written. Such things are being mentioned, which are even difficult to read for a rightly minded person, a sane person. The new book written in America, somebody commented on that one, a Christian commented that this is such a vulgar book, foolish book, that nobody can even read that. So all these allegations which are put against the person of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, these are not new. All the time such allegations have been put against him. When he claimed, at that time the non-believers, they had the belief that maybe because of some worldly attraction or greed, he might have made this claim, and through his uncle, they sent a message that you, regarding our faith and our idols, you do not say anything and stop that. And you don't preach about your faith, about your religion. And in lieu of that, we are going to accept you as our leader. And all the wealth and the glory and the pomp and show and the wealth, we are ready to give it all to you. And we are also give you the most beautiful woman as in marriage. But he replied that if these people are going to put sun on his right hand and the moon on the left hand, then still I would not desist and discontinue what is my duty and what I am doing. I have been sent for this purpose, that I should tell them where they are wrong and to guide them to the right path. If for this purpose, if I have to die, may sacrifice my life, so then I would accept that very happily. My life is devoted to this cause, and the fear of death cannot stop me from doing it, and no temptation can ever can stop me from doing it, can stand in my way. So the worldly people, they always, this work which he was doing for the sake of Allah and under the command of Allah Almighty, they always considered it a worldly pursuit and worldly objective which he was performing. And the non-believers gave him certain offers, and but he refused all types of offers and temptations, and he made it very clear that I am not expecting any glory and pomp and show of this world. But I have been sent from the Lord of the universe, and I am that final prophet who has to hoist the flag of that one God who is almighty and all-powerful. And this announcement of this the announcement which he made has been made in this verse in the Holy Quran: "Kullinna salati wa nusuki wa mahiyaya wa mamati lillahi rabbil alameen." You tell them that my prayer and my sacrifices and my life and my death, this is all entirely for Allah, who is the Lord of all the universe, all the worlds. So this was his status. From top to bottom, he was completely saturated in the love of Allah. And this worldly gain was not at all his objective. He wanted to have the complete sway of God Almighty over the whole world. And this is what he told the whole world, that if you are looking for the perpetual everlasting life, then you should follow me. And you do justice to those prayers and supplications and try to get those heights, the example of which I have established in my life. To be lost in prayer is actually the purpose of life. And for the sacrifices before the final death, one should put a sort of a situation of death for him. And the example of that I have provided for you in my life. And when you would die like that, then you will actually get an eternal life. And that will enable you to get the eternal pleasure of Allah Almighty. So therefore, through prayers and sacrifices, the high standards which he achieved and which he set, which actually a new point of views, new angles of life and death were made clear by that. And Allah Almighty made this announcement through him, that why are you giving me these temptations of greed, and why are you frightening me from these difficulties? My faith is for the sake of Allah Almighty. And when somebody has lost everything for the sake of Allah Almighty, then for him there is no significance of this worldly life or the death. And as I said, by making this announcement, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually have given us this teaching, that you should, these are my teachings, these are my examples. You should also, fattabi'uni, you should follow me. And you should try to tread on these paths which I have made clear to you. today, this community of the greatest lover of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there are many countries who are tempting and frightening the Jamaat in the same way. In Pakistan, every day something is taking place. In India as well, in a large number of Muslims live in large number in those areas, Ahmadis are being made the victim of injustice and wicked things, and sometimes they are frightened, and so much so that in some countries in Europe, in Bulgaria for example, recently we got a report that some of the people in Ahmadis have been intimidated and terrified, and this has joined in European Union recently. There is a large number of Muslims living there. At the behest of the Mufti of that area, 7 Ahmadis, they were captured and they were tortured. But by the grace of Allah, all of them, they are firm in their faith. So always, every Ahmadi should remember this point, that different types of tortures and difficulties which were inflicted upon the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions. We are not even facing 1/100th of that. If we understand this principle and this basic point, that our worship and our sacrifices should be entirely for the sake of Allah Almighty, and we are firmly established on this point, that our Lord, our God, that our living and our death is only entirely, solely for the sake of Allah Almighty, and then individually, as we would get a permanent life, spiritual life, and at the same time the Ahmadis would be able to give life to so many thousands of people who are spiritually dead. So first and foremost is this one, that they should emphasize on the prayers and follow the example of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and according to that you should bring about the means of giving life to these people. It will be through us, because we are following that example of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and as such we will be creating the means of their spiritual life. And similarly, we should also establish our high standards of worship, and according to that noble example which was set for us by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is a narration of Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radhiyallahu ta'ala anha with reference to this, regarding this book which I mentioned, in relation to Hazrat Aisha, a lot of filthy allegations have been attributed with reference to Hazrat Aisha. Anyway, Hazrat Aisha relates that she is telling that who was actually his beloved, the beloved of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And no doubt he also loved his wives, but who was actually the greatest lover? He says that one night Huzur was staying with me at that night, and turn by turn he used to go, and during the night I saw that he was not on the bed. I went into the courtyard and I saw that he was in a prayer, and he was saying that, "O my Allah, O my Creator, my soul and my heart is in a state of prostration for you." So this is the expression before the one who was truly beloved of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is an example, this is the answer to those people who allege against him. And then during his sleep he used to remember Allah Almighty, that although my two eyes, they sleep, go to sleep, but my heart is fully awake throughout. And during the state of alertness of my heart and awakeness of my heart, I always keep myself busy in remembrance of Allah. On every turn, on the right and left, he would remember Allah Almighty. On various occasions, on various situations, there are prayers which he has taught us, And through his practical example, he has taught us those prayers. These prayers also are the proof of the fact that he was actually spending his day and night, every moment of his life, in the remembrance of Allah. So this is the concept, and this is the standard which he has given us, that every act of a believer and every movement can become turned into an act of worship if it is for the sake of Allah. And if it is reminding him the remember Allah Almighty. And if it is with that intention that it will become a source of giving him the love of Allah Almighty. For example, he went into the house of a companion. He had got a new house. And there was a window. He asked, he knew very well for what the window is. But just for the sake of tarbiyat, he asked that companion, tell me that what have you put up this window here? He said that so that the light and the air could come through. He said, yes, that is right. But if you had made it, if you had also included this intention that you could also hear the voice, the call for prayer, then you would have been rewarded much more. And all these two objectives that you have mentioned, they would have got it, and also you would have got more sawab and reward because of this third pious intention. In one hadith, it is mentioned that he said that the husband should, for the sake of Allah, if he puts a morsel in the mouth of his wife, for the sake of Allah, he is going to be rewarded for that. And this doesn't mean simply the morsel, putting morsel in the mouth, but actually it means looking after the need of the wife and the children. This is the duty of the husband, that he should be the he should be discharging all the responsibilities, domestic responsibility. And he should know that these are the responsibilities given to him by God, and for the sake of the wife who has left her home and who has come to my home, I have to discharge her responsibilities towards her and the children. Then this thing becomes the means of sawab and reward. And this is also an ibadat and worship. If these are the views of all Ahmadis, then all these domestic problems and fighting and on petty things are seen. One can easily avoid from all these things. If the wife is fully realizing her responsibility, what are the responsibilities that I should be serving my husband? And I should discharge my responsibility, and they will be doing it for the sake of Allah. Then Allah Almighty, the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned both the parties, that if you do like that, then this action of yours will become like a worship to Allah Almighty, and you will be rewarded for that. So these are the things which people should think and ponder over it. And these are the things, some petty things sometime in domestic life, they can turn their house into like a paradise. Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha relates regarding the worship of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She says that one night I saw that he was offering his tahajjud prayer, and he was in a state of prostration, and he was praying, O Allah, for you my soul and my body is in a state of prostration. I believe in you. O my Allah, my two hands are spread in front of you, and whatever I have done injustice to myself, that you know better. O great Allah, there is no greater than you. You forgive my great sins. And then he said to Hazrat Aisha, after he finished his prayer, then he said that Hazrat Jibreel, he asked me to say these prayers, and you should also recite those words. Now you see that that perfect man who was some time ago asked to make this announcement, that you tell the world that my prayer, my worship, my sacrifice, my life and my death, everything is for the sake of Allah. There is nothing in my life which I do for myself or with my own intention and purpose or for my personal desire or ego. But every action of mine and everything that I do, that is for the sake of Allah. And that perfect man of Allah, how he is expressing his humility and his humbleness, utmost humility and modesty he is praying to Allah Almighty, with the fear of Allah Almighty. He is saying that I have wronged my soul, Allah please forgive me. Actually, these examples have been set for these for us actually. These are the examples set for us that we should never ever, we should never ever be boasting upon anything good that we are able to do it. But we should become very modest and humble servant of Allah Almighty. We should fully submit to Him and always we should be begging His mercy from Him. And then another aspect of His character is, which I take, that that is regarding just injustice and equality among the people. He said that the nations before you, they got destroyed. Because if anybody great among them, noble, you know, high, did some wrong, he was left let go free. And if some weak person was caught, then he was punished. So this should not be done in my ummah. But nowadays, if we see, this thing is done far and wide. This has crept into the practice of the Muslims. Women relate to a tribe who belonged to a very highly placed family. She stole, committed theft, and her name was Fatima. And the Holy Prophet ﷺ imposed the punishment of stealing. And the companions, they tried to save her. And they asked Hadrat Usama to go and recommend and intercede, recommend. When he said something, the color of the face of the Holy Prophet ﷺ turned red. And he said that if my own daughter, Fatima, would have committed anything like that, I would have given her the same punishment. So that was his high standard of justice. At one point, Hadrat Abu Zar Ghafari, he says that I took two lads and two boys with me, and I recommended to him that they think that, and I also think that they should be appointed on the collection of zakat. And the Holy Prophet ﷺ said that somebody who is wishing to have an office, we do not give that office to that person. When Allah Almighty gives, then Allah Almighty enables the people and helps that people as well. So anybody who is appointed for any service without his desire, then Allah Almighty enables him and gives him the strength to fulfill it and blesses that effort. But when somebody begs for an office, then that becomes something heavy and responsibility upon him, a penalty upon him. And you considered yourself deserving it or capable of that, so then this has become like a burden upon you. And then Allah Almighty wants to see how much you can do. So Huzur says, therefore, this desire for having an office, it is actually from one's own self. And Allah Almighty does not like that, that everybody should be expressing one's selfish and inner desires like that. Today, sometime in Jamaat, in such Jamaats where the tarbiyat is lacking, or lacking in those particular people, sometime they wish for certain having certain offices and duties. And because of lack of information or ignorance, they sometime give a vote in their own favor when the elections, Jamaat elections take place. So anyway, now by the grace of Allah, to a great extent we can say that members of the Jamaat, they know the rules and regulations of the Jamaat, except for one or two who are newcomers. Because this restriction that one cannot vote for himself is because of that, the Holy Prophet ﷺ said that nobody should wish for getting any office. Voting for oneself means that I am capable of this and nobody else is more capable than that. So with the same spirit and idea, this is not allowed. And there are some people, when the elections take place, if they do not vote for themselves, because of these rules and regulations do not permit that, but they do not use their right as well. not using one's own right, that also indicates that it is taken in that sense that a person thinks that I am the competent person and I cannot vote for any other person. He considers that nobody else is more competent than me, that's why he doesn't vote. So this should also be avoided. This is very essential for tarbiyat. People should know that. If anybody has got any capability, then the mention of that, whether it is professional or intellectual or whatever nature it may be, the mention of this capability, it can be done by offering your help to the office holders. And you can serve the cause of the community without office. If you want to do it for the sake of Allah Almighty, you should not be having any desire for any office. So this point should the Ahmadis, the newcomers, the youngsters, everybody and the old ones as well, all of them, they should remember it very well. I have seen that some old Ahmadis, in this illusion that they know very well and they know much, they sometime trespass the limits. And these office holders, they should also keep this point in mind. All the office holders should be selfless. And they should be selfless in the true sense of the term. They shouldn't have any ego and self-desire. And they should always keep the example of the Holy Prophet ﷺ should always be kept, where he said that the leader of the people is their servant. And addressing Hazrat Abu Zar, the Holy Prophet ﷺ said that this office is a trust and the human beings are very weak. So this is a trust given by Allah Almighty. And human beings are very weak. If they don't discharge the right of that emanat and trust, then you will be questioned about that. So therefore, in order to discharge the responsibility with utmost humility, with spending all your capabilities in this way, you should try your level best to do it. And first thing is that the office holder is a servant of the community. And then he should all the time praying to Allah Almighty that in everything, at every step, at every moment, Allah Almighty should guide him and help him. And only then an office bearer can discharge the real right of that responsibility. Sometime many people come to me, they ask me that they mentioned about their duties and ask, generally, regarding the youngsters, they say that I have got this responsibility. And you should rather say that I have got this office. You should say that I have got this point of duty and service which is given to me. And you would be, you should understand this distinction very well. And these examples and these patterns which I have mentioned, the instructions that he gave and the quality of the people regarding the humility and humbleness, all these examples, they are to be seen throughout his life. If he was on journey and the mounts are limited, then horses and camels are limited, then among the companions who were young, if they are divided between the people, and if he had a mount in his lot, then the way he utilized his right, the same he did to his companion. If two people were asked to make use of one mount, so that was done equally. So this command of Allah Almighty, لَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَانُ قَوْمٍ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا اِدِلُوا هُوَ أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَىٰ, that the enmity of any nation should not prompt you that you should do injustice. Always go for justice that is closer to righteousness and piety. This is the command of Allah. Regarding this, what a great noble example he set. I just give you one example. The Khaybar, the famous fort of Jews, and the land of that was distributed among the Mujahideen, the warriors, Muslim warriors. When it was a very fertile land and there were trees of date trees were there, And when this division of the share, the point that came of the crop, then Abdullah bin Suhail, along with his cousin, so he went for the distribution of this crop of dates, and they got separated for a while. And during that time, when Hadrat Abdullah was away from the people, somebody killed him. And the dead body was dropped into a ditch. And it was quite evident, and overwhelming evidence thought was there, that it might have been killed by a Jewish person. And although they did not have any enmity, but overwhelming view was that there. But when this matter was brought to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Hazur says that, as I said, there were quite clear points indicating to the thing that it was the doings of the Jewish people. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked from Mahisa that can you declare it on oath that a Jewish person has killed him? He said that, no, I haven't seen with my own eyes. But if I have not seen with my own eyes, how can I take an oath on that? The Holy Prophet ﷺ said, so then the oath will be taken from the Jewish people. Have they actually killed that person or not? Or they should explain the point that they have not done it. Nobody would accept that they have killed, but certainly they can explain their position that they have not done it. So Mahisa asked the Holy Prophet ﷺ, that how can you depend upon these people, the Jewish people? They can swear wrongly and falsely. But it was the requirement of the justice, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said if they swear, then they would be spared. And they swore like that and they were spared. And the blood money of Abdullah was paid from the Islamic Baitul Mal. So this was the noble tradition which he established in every aspect of life. And he did not leave any aspect uncovered. And in everything we see the noble example set by him. And this example of justice which I have given, nowadays if you see, very people with long flowing robes, and they are holding these majalis of Milad, meetings of Milad, of the birthday of the Holy Prophet. And as I said, except those people, as I said, that in those meetings, except calling names to Ahmadis, using foul language, and in the name of Khatm al-Nubuwwat, they say so many things. And against the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, they use very filthy language. But on the other side, you see, what was the training of the companions of the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasalam, that despite the fact that the facts, they were quite evident, and the witness of the time and the occasion was there, but despite that, nobody has that person had not seen with their eyes, he did not take the oath. But these people who describe themselves flag bearer of Islam, they claim to be like that. They are not like that, but they claim to be like that. They swear on oath, they go to the police stations and establish FIRs against Ahmadis, and absolutely foolish and rubbish and obnoxious allegations are laid, and they are put into the FIR. They do not have any fear of Allah at all. If these people are following the example of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they would have some fear in their hearts. Mahisa, whatever he said about the Jewish people, that how can we depend on these people, they might swear in wrong. Now this thing is actually applicable to the Muslims of today. Allah Almighty have mercy on these innocent Muslims, those who are have become a toy in the hand of these ignorant mullahs, and they are being misled, and they are committing so many things because of the bad guidance. And because of that, so many houses are completely destroyed. Allah Almighty has strongly forbidden the people that from the hand of a Muslim, no Muslim should ever shed the blood. The punishment in this life and also the punishment in the hereafter is there. But these days, these people, they just shed the blood of other people. They take it as less expensive than the blood of the animal. In their eyes, the blood of human being is less expensive than the blood of animal. And the last advice which the Holy Prophet ﷺ mentioned in his farewell address, that it is your responsibility to protect the sanctity of your life and your blood as you are looking after the sanctity of this noble month and day. And what is being done today? In Pakistan, you see, people are robbing other people, and the Ahmadis, they are being robbed and tortured in the name of Islam. As a matter of fact, every kalima, the one who recites kalima, the Holy Prophet ﷺ has said that Allah Almighty have mercy upon these people, these Muslims, and enable them that they should truly follow the noble example of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, who was mercy for the whole of mankind, and they should become the recipient of the mercy of Allah Almighty. And Allah Almighty also enable us to follow the example of the Holy Prophet ﷺ and make and mold our lives according to that noble example of the Holy Prophet.
Alhamdulillah, nahmadu wa nasta'inu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'uzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر